Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
We start with a story from the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs that doesn't have anything to do with really the Colorado Avalanche players or their championship, but it does have something to do with perhaps the most famous trophy in sports, and that is Lord Stanley's Cup that they play for. And a story that's right in my wheelhouse that's drawing a lot of attention from folks in my industry and maybe even yours. I'd be curious to hear some of your thoughts on what you think about a story like this. And it is a man named Mike Chambers, who is a beat writer, a reporter for the Denver Post, who covered the Avalanche all season long, was in the locker room, traveled with the team, covered the team, obviously loves hockey, so it appeared to be his dream job. And when the Colorado Avalanche win the Stanley Cup on Sunday night, Mike Chambers, presumably after getting his quotes, putting some of his thoughts together for a story that he was going to be writing and things like that, in the locker room with the team, lights up one of their victory cigars and celebrates holding the Stanley Cup up over his head and posing with players, taking pictures with it. Now, that may not sound like a big deal to you. For people in my industry, and the feedback has been swift and in some cases pretty stern from some people, although I got to admit, media is changing and things are changing in our industry, especially covering sports. Again, this isn't covering the White House. It's not covering, you know, the war in Ukraine. It's covering a hockey team, but journalism is journalism. And as we just watched Phil Mickelson go through a news conference a couple of weeks ago that I will stand by and say was tougher than any news conference anyone in America has had since Donald Trump was president. Trump was subjected to some very difficult news conferences. It was a person in sports that had the most difficult news conference of this year. Joe Biden doesn't get news conferences like this. The White House press briefings aren't like this. They're all sycophants. They're all on the same team, reading from the same playbook. And it occurred to me, maybe this is just where it's all headed. Mike Chambers did something that I would never do. I just would never do it. I had a pretty clear choice when I was a young man. I went to college. I got my degree. If I wanted to work for a team and try to lift a trophy or get a ring, I could have easily done that. I could have become a play-by-play announcer. I could have worked in communications for the team. I could have been in public relations. There were a whole bunch of different things I could have gone into and done if I wanted to work for the team. My choice was simply this. If I can't play for a team, I don't want to go try to earn a ring or lift a trophy as the announcer for a team. That is in no way disrespectful to anyone who works for a team. My friend Ryan Lefevre, for example, has a World Series ring. I'm good friends with Stan Weber. He's got every single bowl ring K-State has ever had. And he belongs in their Hall of Fame at Kansas State. He's been there. He was a starting quarterback and been there for 35 years. And I know that he has felt like part of the team at times. But he will tell you it's not the same as when he was quarterback of the team. I'm not disparaging any of those people. What I'm talking about is someone who decides they're not working for the team. They're a journalist. We're going to cover the sport as it's supposed to be covered, which is with some degree, not complete objectivity. You understand that you're working for the Denver Post and your readers are Avs fans. You know this going in. But some degree of social distancing, shall we say. I'm 6 feet back from this. You have the virus. I don't want it. Da-da-da-da-da. Well, that's not what Mike Chambers did. Mike Chambers went in there and got his interviews and decided he was going to get pictures and he was going to smoke a victory cigar and he was going to hang out with some players on the team and they were all going to take these photos. I don't know what comes of this. I know a lot of people in media around the country are looking at this going, wow, that is the only thing you don't do as a reporter. You may, at a later date, get an invitation from a player to come to his house or go to a private event where they have the cup or the Conn Smythe trophy or something like that, and in your own time, pose for a picture with them because you were invited there. I personally have a picture with Frank White from back in the 90s at his home where he had all of his gold gloves on display in a case, and I went and did a feature story on him. And when we were done shooting the interview and stuff, we took some still photos of he and I, my camera crew and whatnot, standing in front of his case with the gold gloves. That's a very standard procedure. You've seen this with people who interview celebrities or Donald Trump or whatever, they do photo ops. They're seen walking with them for the story. If it's a television news story, you walk with them. And I certainly walked around his house and we took pictures of the gloves and stuff. It was part of the story. That's a totally different deal than covering a team that win a championship and now you're lifting the trophy and smoking cigars in the locker room after the players have passed the thing around. So a lot of people in media are really questioning this. I have two thoughts on this. The first thought is this where journalism, sports journalism, any journalism is moving? Is it? Because we see big-time CNN anchors or whatever partying with Pelosi, for example, at fundraisers. They're all hobnobbers. We see the correspondence dinner that they have in Washington, D.C. Is it all one and the same? There is no distance. There is no real journalism. Is that where we're going in America? I think that's probably the headline here, and this is just another story that basically puts an exclamation point on that. There is a possibility. The second question I have in this is there more to this story? Is this man about to quit? Is he about to go to work for the team? Does he have a job offer at the NHL? And where do we blur the lines? If you work for NHL.com or people in Kansas City, MLB.com, for example, if you work for MLB.com, you're being paid by Major League Baseball to cover baseball. They say, oh, well, we're objective. We still get to go do our job. Not really. You're paid by Major League Baseball. You work for them. You're not working for an independent media outlet or journalism outlet. You're not. There's a difference between working for the Denver Post and, let's say, working for the Colorado Avalanche or NHL.com. Maybe Mike Chambers is getting ready to move. Maybe this was the end of his time at the Denver Post, and we're going to learn something this week that it's over. He's found something else. He's moving on. He's tired of being that journalist, and he wants to work in hockey. If that's the case, everybody forgives him. He goes to work for a hockey team or the NHL or whatever, and he works in hockey. If that's what he wants to do, he has the right to do that. I'll respect that. I respect all day people that want to go to work for teams. I mentioned several times to Spencer over the years, you know, as he was working in radio and in Louisville, Phoenix, different places, that I just don't see the future in the industry. Therefore, I didn't see my son's future. It's a very narrow path. There are tremendous jobs with teams. Sometimes at universities, the jobs with teams, whether you're video coordinators or, you know, work in the sports information office or things like that, these are wonderful jobs with tremendous benefits, decent salaries, not great salaries, but decent salaries, tremendous benefits and perks, golf course memberships, cars, courtesy cars, lots of cool travel. You get all the bling, you get all the swag, you get all the gear you can wear. Every time the football team wins a bowl game, you get another ring. You know, you get all this cool stuff. Working for a team can be a really cool option. I've never been against that. I just don't think when you are not in that and you work for the Denver Post, you do what this guy did. I'm going to keep my eye on the story. I want to know where it goes because it just feels like there has to be more to this story. It feels like maybe he's quitting. And I can't believe a reporter would take the pictures and act the way this guy did. I've just never seen anything like it. And I've been in this business a long, long time. I've never seen anybody do what Mike Chambers of the Denver Post did. And if he's not leaving, if he's staying, it seems to me a suspension is in order or a reprimand or something from the Denver Post. This is just not the way you behave. There may be some fans in Denver think it's the greatest thing they've ever seen. Mike Chambers may be their favorite writer. That's fine. I'm just telling you, this breaks down. I mean, there's ethics in every industry, right? Which is why we talked about, I don't know whether it was a patron podcast or a regular podcast yesterday. We talk about, I don't know how doctors, you know, ethics in medicine, I don't know how doctors can take an 8-month-old baby from the womb and kill it. I just don't know how doctors can do that. There are ethics in every profession. We know what they are. You know what your standards are in your industry. I know what they are in my industry. And this one crossed that. And I find that to be a very interesting story. We'll see what happens. I think there's two big things. I think we're watching at the erosion of actual journalism in America. It's been going on for probably a good 15 years now, at least 10. You've seen it, you understand it, you experience it, and that's part of the polarization of our country. Media members, including me, okay, I'm not pot kettle here, okay, I'll let you know, I'm straight up with you. You know what I do now. This is what I do. This is not what I would have done when I worked at Channel 4. This is probably not what I would have done when I was at Sports Radio 810, although I kind of wish I had started a podcast on the side while I was doing radio, but I was doing a lot of radio and didn't want to do more broadcasting. 20 hours of talk a week was probably enough. And so I didn't start a podcast while I was doing that. A lot of the segments were podcast or put on streaming, and I thought that was good enough. But this is what I love doing. You know who, what I am. I'm part of it now. I'm part of the polarization in media. But we have to have a line in the sand where people who cover things need to cover them, at least trying to be objective. Imagine, the sports analogy is this. Imagine if umpires, we'll pick baseball. Imagine if umpires just said, no, I'm not really going to try to be objective tonight. I grew up in, there's an umpire from where, Great Bend? He was umpired in the World Series last year. It was his first World Series from Great Bend, Kansas. Grew up a Royals fan. Nope, I'm in Kansas City tonight. The Royals are playing the Rangers. I'm not going to be objective at all. I'm going to call everything for the Royals. That's my team. Imagine if we had that with like every umpire. There are ethics and standards in every industry, and sports is no different. Would you accept an umpire doing that? No, you wouldn't. So you shouldn't accept sports writers and journalists covering teams to be that way. And I've always said that. And I became, as time went by, I became the outlier in this town. I became the outlier in that front. The overwhelming majority, if you went to Arrowhead Stadium for an Andy Reid press conference, I think they're on maybe Wednesdays now, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes both meet with the media around noon before they practice. And if you went out there and sat in there with the 30 or so reporters in the room, maybe 40, you would not believe how many fanboys are in there and fangirls. Not being sexist, just flat out, oh my God, Patrick Mahomes is in the room. Oh, hey, Patrick, tell me a little bit about the baby reveal party. It's just unbelievable to me. It's so foreign, but that's what we're creating in colleges. They're coming out of school. They don't want to cover things with any objectivity. They really don't want to go ask questions that fans want to know. They basically are like fanboys and want to know about the gender reveal party, you know, and you know, what's your favorite taco in Kansas City? How's Whataburger doing? Just stuff like that, which is in no way, shape, or form journalism. The Chiefs love it that way. The more fanboy you are, the better chance you have of being credentialed by the Chiefs. That's what they want. They don't want people out there asking real questions. It's what they avoid at all costs, and it's a sad state of affairs because the teams basically control that. We had another bad decision, this one here locally, by Zach Greinke. And we've got to verify the story. Let me say this. This is being reported in a lot of places. Zach Greinke on Sunday before the game at Kauffman Stadium, a fan had a pen and a ball and said, hey, Zach, will you sign this? And I don't know the circumstances around this. I don't know if there was heckling. I don't know if the fan was annoying. Nobody knows any of this stuff. There's a picture of an arm and a ball and a pen and Greinke walking to the guy. There's no other video other than that. In fact, I can't even find out the name of the fan that this happened to. But plenty of sites have now reported this. They all say this allegedly happened. Greinke took the ball from the fan and threw it as far as he could across the field, which I shouldn't laugh is a mean thing to do, but it's Zach Greinke. He's an odd duck. We've known for a long time he's an odd duck. So he allegedly took the ball, threw it all the way across the field. And the fan said, what the heck did you do that for? And Greinke said, for my amusement, and walked away. Now, I don't doubt that this could have happened. If it was going to happen with anybody, it would be Greinke. If it's true, I suspect the Royals will try to find out who that is and get him another ball and an autographed ball and do whatever. They'll probably try to do the right thing. Players can do what they want. It reminds me of a story when I was a kid I've told before. The first playoff game at Kauffman Stadium, 1976, I went with my dad. We went very early. It was a day game. And out in right field, Billy Martin, the manager of the Yankees, was shagging fly balls during batting practice. It was pretty cool. The Royals take batting practice first. In those days, they didn't want the fans to see the home team ever. It's like, okay, leave the visitor out there and let them deal with the fans. And I think he was standing with Reggie Jackson or something in right field, and it's out there. My dad, we've got a ball. We got a ball from the hit foul balls in those days. The cages weren't as good. The foul balls would come up in the seats. We got a ball. My dad has the ball, and he's just riding Billy Martin's ass. He's just riding him. Billy Martin's like 25 feet away. Come sign the ball, Billy. Come sign the ball. You know, blah, blah, just on him. Not F-bombs. My dad wasn't like that. It was none of that, but it was constant, hey, my kid's here. This is the first game, post-game ever here. Give us a memory. Sign the ball. And he wouldn't do it. And Billy Martin kind of looked over, and now he's playing with my dad. He's like, yeah, 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 you're funny. I mean, he's goofing with my dad at this point. So they're engaged. Ball comes down in the corner. Billy Martin comes over, shags it, looks up like he's going to throw it to a kid next to me, doesn't, throws it back to the infield. Now he's teasing Royals fans. Now some other people are on him, but nobody's on him like my dad. And he's getting closer and closer to us just by where he's standing. And Billy Martin keeps engaging him and looking over. And eventually, my dad tosses the ball down to his feet and throws the pen on the field and says, come on, man, just sign it and throw it back. Billy Martin grabbed the ball and the pen, and he picked it up, and he put it in his back pocket. And batting practice continued for another 15 minutes. He never looked over. He never smiled. He never teased the fan. I'm about to cry. Okay, I'm about to ball my eyes out. I'm 12 years old. The ball is gone. I had a ball. I had a ball from the game. I had a ball from batting practice at the Royals, who were finally in the playoffs. I couldn't believe it. And now Billy Martin has my ball. And he has the pen. And I know what's going to happen. They're going to ring the bell. Batting practice is over. He's going to run in. And that's going to be that. 15 minutes later, they ring the bell. Players start to come off the field. Billy Martin walks over, and he signs the ball, and he hands it up to me and says, your dad's an asshole. And he left, and he went, and he's gone. He took off. It was like the greatest moment ever. He gave the pen back and everything. It is the most cherished, prized ball that I have. And the reason it's the most cherished and prized ball, and I've got a lot of cool balls and a lot of cool things, is because of the story. And there are people saying what Zach Greinke did on Sunday for that fan is give him the greatest story ever, which is better than having a Zach Greinke ball. You can get a Zach Greinke ball. He now has a story that all these years Zach Greinke has played, all these places he's been, that was the one moment and the one time that he decided to take the ball and throw it from the fan. It really is a unique story. If that's true, the fan has a great story to tell. And I would rather tell the Billy Martin story about me and my dad and Billy Martin than anything else. A few years later, after I'd graduated from college and worked down in Joplin, Mickey Mantle had a charity golf tournament in Joplin, Missouri, where he played for many years. He was from nearby across the Oklahoma border, but he had a charity golf tournament, and he would bring Billy Martin in. And I went down. Billy Martin and Mickey Mantle did not play in the golf tournament. They got drunk by the fishing pond. They put a keg of beer down there and a couple of lawn chairs, and there was a par three right by there. And after you hit your shots, you would go by and you could take a picture with them. They sat in their chairs and drank all day and fished. They didn't golf in the tournament. I was a Cub reporter at KOM-TV in Joplin, and so I go cover this event. And I get an interview with Billy Martin and with Mickey Mantle. It's a really cool event. And these guys, they're old guys, and they're not working at this point, you know, the whole thing. And I start to tell Billy Martin this story. Not that he's going to remember it, but I let him know, because he's got a million things that he did. He was not going to remember this, which is not a problem. I didn't tell him the whole story like I just told you. And I said, listen, I just want to tell you, it was one of the greatest moments. I don't know if you remembered it or not. My dad was the guy, you know, this has now been 12 years ago, 14. I got to Channel 7 at 86. This might have been 1987, probably 1987. So this is 15 years later. No, 11 years later. And I briefly tell him about this thing, and I just say, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for giving me the ball back. It is a cherished and prized possession. I'm still a Royals fan, but that was a really cool thing you did. Despite the fact that my dad was annoying, that was a really cool thing you did. And he said, well, thank you very much. He actually said it more like, thank you very much, is more how he said it. I don't know about the Greinke story. We'll find out if he did that or not. The opposite side of Zach Greinke, who has made hundreds of millions of dollars playing baseball, and this has always been the weirdest dynamic for me, when I covered sports in clubhouses or locker rooms, it was always fascinating to me to see one guy sitting on a little wooden stool or padded stool that has $150 million and a $300,000 car in the parking lot, and a guy right next to him who just got called up, makes the minimum, has been, you know, trying forever just to get where they are, makes the minimum salary, and in the case of Vinny Pasquantino of the Royals, drove a 2015 Ford Escape from Omaha to Kansas City to be activated for the first time in his career. This is how it works. Vinny Pasquantino has very little. He was not a massively high draft choice that got $7 million out of high school, like some of these failed Royals pitchers. So he's not that. He never has never had a chance, really, to be rich. His chance to have great wealth is to stay in the big leagues. He's 24 years old. He's just been tearing it up in AAA. He was very good in spring training. The Royals called him up on Friday or on Monday. I did a patron podcast about that and the train wreck in Minden, Missouri. We'll have a little bit more on a couple of these other things later in the podcast, but that's the kind of thing we do patron podcasts about. So Pasquantino gets called up, and it's a great story. We've heard some great call-up stories. This one is one of the best. Vinny Pasquantino, immediately when he's told by the Omaha manager that he's going to the big leagues, calls his dad. He called his girlfriend first. She's very excited. He was doing his laundry when he found out. He's doing his laundry. And he calls his girlfriend, talks to her for a couple minutes, then he calls his dad, and his dad's like, yeah, right. His dad apparently is very down on the Royals. Like, there's nothing you can do to get called up. You're not getting called up. You know, they think that, you know, other prospects are more prized and, you know, higher drafted and things like that. And that's true. It's exactly true. The dad's like, yeah, right. And he goes, no, really. Really, it's legit. And the dad goes, okay, sure. He calls his brother. He calls some other people. He gets to the park. He's with the manager. He puts the manager of Omaha on with the dad. He says, it's true, sir. He's out of here. We're sending him out. He's going to be in Kansas City tonight. Yeah, okay. I'll believe it when I see it. Goodbye. He thought the whole thing was a joke. The dad did. Vinny Pasquantino gets in his car. He drives to Kansas City. It's a three-hour drive, roughly, right? In his 2015 Escape, which he says is perfect for him, that he can fit everything he needs in it. He said one song played. He's got Spotify or whatever. He's playing that in his car. He said there was 3 hours, only one song. So we said, could you please explain how one song played for 3 hours? He said, I was on the phone with so many people the entire way that I would hang the phone up, 7 or 8 seconds of the song would play, and somebody else would call. And I was just going from one call to another, and it only burned up one song the whole way. I couldn't play the song. I was on the phone so much talking to people. It's fantastic to hear. He got there, didn't really know where to go or what to do. The Royals made a decision on Monday. You're not playing tonight. Take it easy. Learn your way around the ballpark. Learn which tunnel to walk down, how to get to the field, all of these things. Tomorrow's your day. It's basically what they told him. So we expect him to be in the lineup on Tuesday night to start. I mean, they traded Santana away. They didn't bring this guy up to sit. If you're going to bring him up, let's play him. That's why he's here. Let's find out what we have. I will watch this season to watch things like this. I'm not going to watch every pitch, but I'm interested to see if this guy's a AAA superstar and that's it, or if he's a big leaguer, because he has surprised the Royals. Folks, I'll be honest with you. Some of the Royals' best players in the Dayton Moore era, complete and utter surprises. They never thought Salvador Perez would hit. They had no clue Greg Holland was ever going to be anything. None. I mean, some Royals Hall of Famers in this era were late pit. Whit Merrifield was kept down. You remember how long he was kept down? The Royals never believed in Whit Merrifield. Never. Never. Never wanted to give him a chance. They didn't believe in him. They didn't draft him high enough. He was an older player. He'd been to college. They didn't believe in him. Some of the best Royals players are players they don't believe in. They get locked in forever on the guys they draft highest. How many chances did Bubba Starling get? Never was going to make it. You just knew it. Never was going to make it. So I don't judge this and say, well, this isn't Bobby Witt Jr. They didn't take him at the top of the draft. If the dude can play, he can play. The Royals have messed up a lot. They're giving him a chance. Get to this level and hit. I'm excited to see Vinny Pasquantino and what that may mean. I'm also excited for you if you get a chance to go to Fry Orthodontics with your teenager or as an adult, consider Invisalign. Same price as braces. Who did I see getting interviewed the other day? Who was it? Was it somebody in baseball? Basketball? I don't remember. They had Invisalign in. Right after the game, you could see it. They had their it was great. You can barely see them, but they had them. I'm like, there you go. That's pretty cool stuff. Love it when adults correct their smiles. I am always surprised when I see people in the public spotlight or television or whatever that don't fix their smile. But it really is for anyone in any career. Fix your smile. Invisalign is the same price as braces at Fry Orthodontics, where if you mention KKHI, you get $500 off. Call 469-9191 at Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Buck Roofing and Construction. Ron Buck's team is available 24/7 if you have an emergency. Keep the number in your phone. 913-384-2680. Online at rbuckroofing.com. No job too big or small. Not very many jobs are too far away either. They'll drive 2-3 hours. They do jobs at Lake of the Ozarks. You got a bad roof at the lake. You got a bad issue somewhere in Salina. They'll find you. They'll come to you and do the job. These guys are really good at what they do. Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Muddy Greg over at B-Stock sent me an email. Says they have the steal of the year on 65-inch Neos by Samsung. They just got these. They cost a ton to ship. So they would rather not ship these around the country. They'd rather sell them locally. This allows you to save money on shipping that you cannot get on the website. People ask me all the time, are TVs, computers, and things cheaper at B-Stock than they are on the website? The answer is yes, because they don't have to ship them. So this is going to save hundreds on a brand new TV. The Samsung Q-Series and the Neo, we're talking about the 65-inch, $1,400 on the Samsung or Best Buy websites. That's their price there. It's unbelievable. $899 at B-Stock. That's $500 off. I mean, that's just an unbelievable price. Jump on it. Bstock.net. And of course, Spencer and Steve, my guys over at Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. Keep life from getting dull. Get one of the new knives from the 1929 series. They'll be debuting next week. They've redone these with new handles. You're going to love them. Go check them out. 1929 is the series featured right now at finchknifeco.com, or find them at Shields, The Bullet Hole, or Teague Tractor at Finch Knife Co. Keep life from getting dull. Well, it was quite a shocker what happened in Minden, Missouri on Monday, as we had an Amtrak train derailed by a dump truck crossing an intersection with no signals, no lights, no arms, no nothing. So we did the Patron podcast yesterday, and we said we just don't know what exactly happened here, but this is just tragic. I guess it's amazing. Only 3 people died. One was the truck driver. 50 were injured. The residents of Minden, Missouri, or the farmers around there, are the least surprised people on the planet. One man who was interviewed and spoke at great length as an expert says he has been on this for a couple of years trying to get a signal put in and the arms that come down. He was told this work was going to be done last July. That did not happen. He contacted the railroads and the people in charge again in November and said, "What the hell are you doing? This is dangerous. Fix this." They said they would. They didn't. He called back in January. They said they had shelved the project. It was not going to happen. They tabled it. He said, "Can you at least come out and cut back the brush and the trees? We cannot see the trains coming. We're down in the brush and the trees. There's a hill that you climb to go up to this intersection. So you have to go up real slow up this hill and creep up the hill. Now remember, most of the vehicles crossing here are stick shifts. They're trucks with clutches. They have had cars and trucks stall on the tracks. If you've ever driven a clutch, if you haven't, I can't really explain it very well. The clutch goes out, the car stalls. Residents believe that's what happened to this dump truck, that he was slowly climbing the hill, and he got up there and let the clutch out, and the truck stalled. And it can take you how long to restart your truck and get it off the tracks? 20 seconds? Life and death. There's a train coming, you didn't know it, nothing you can do. We don't know that's what happened, but a farmer that is from there described it as that's what he believed happened. He said, I predicted this would happen, and I've been posting on Facebook. I've driven all over for miles around letting neighbors know. Don't, you know about this intersection, A. B, anybody you come into, let them know. If you have friends that are going to hunt your land that are coming out here from the city, tell them about this intersection. The man said there are three of them. They are equally deadly. Another farmer said a few years ago they had a fatality on a very similar crossing just a quarter of a mile down from where this is. These are farmers' roads. They're dirt, gravel roads. This is where they cross the tracks to work on their crops. These are not thoroughfares. The public doesn't use them. Hunters do. Farmers do. It's pretty much it. You and I would never be on this road under any circumstance unless we were hunting. But there's three of them they've been trying to get signals and arms for because hunters do come out there and strangers do get out there that don't know. And this man apparently was hauling gravel to the levee. They were reinforcing a nearby levee. And there was one gravel truck after another. And the farmer said, he said he had contacted people and said, let the truckers know with the gravel that these are really dangerous intersections. And this is unbelievable. The Patron podcast yesterday, I talked a great deal about our transportation crisis in this country. We have 1,100 flights a day being canceled because we can't fly airplanes anymore. We have people in mid-Missouri getting killed because we don't have signals at railroad tracks. What the hell are we doing with all the money that we send to Ukraine? Is this the responsibility of the railroads? If it is, Amtrak's using that line. That's federal money. Amtrak loses money every year. This is inexcusable in 2022. Oh, they'll put systems in now. You better believe it. There'll be one right there within weeks. And the other two, they'll get them now. What did it take? Oh, we derailed an Amtrak train. Three people died, 50 were hurt. Now we'll put this stuff in. Government can't run anything. And there'll be a lot of people who will shift the blame here to the railroads, but the railroads are all subsidized by the government too. It's all one thing after another. I mean, how hard would it be to trim back the trees and the brush away from this? If you weren't going to put the money in to put the crossing lights in and the arms that come down and the signals down the track and all the infrastructure that goes with it, if you're not willing to do that, how hard would it be to maintain the terrain? It doesn't seem like a high bar. Is that the state of Missouri's responsibility? Doesn't sound like it to me, but I don't really know. All I know is not a single person in Minden, Missouri was surprised at all. They all walked right up to reporters and said, yeah, we've been telling them forever this is going to happen. It's going to be bad when it does. The man said, the only thing that surprised me is it was a passenger train. We never thought that would be the case. He said, this is very rare. Passenger trains come through here, but it's, I mean, what is it? 50 to 1? Coal trains, grain trains, things like that. Transportation, the Amtrak comes through not very often, I'm guessing. The residents from the Kansas City area that had gotten on the train that were headed to Chicago, none of them hurt. Everybody's okay from the Kansas City area, but these are very, very unsurprised people that this happened in Minden, Missouri, and I think that's a shame. Window World is a great Missouri company, and I was texting John Gillette from Window World last night. He's actually helping out Chris from B-Stock, who apparently got a golf ball through his window and needs a new window at his house. He said, I've given him instruction. I'm not sure it's a project for Window World. It may be a project for Window World. I'm not sure. But John texted me back and said, I think I just saved your boy $5,000. Another major company that you've heard of, not like Window World, was going to charge him over $5,000 for some new window or whatever. He says, I think I just saved your boy about $5,000. I don't know the details of the story. I just know John Gillette at Window World, and this is how he runs. That's what they do for you. Even if it's not his project. I had one a long time ago at my house. I've known John forever. It was a giant ceiling, floor-to-ceiling window that got cracked, and he goes, no, I don't make that window. We don't do that custom window, so I can't put that in for you. You do not need to change all your infrastructure, and I think he set me up with a glass guy who came in and put in a new pane for a few hundred dollars, and it saved me thousands. That's the way Window World works. If the project isn't even for them or something that they do exactly, They're going to help you save money. This is the call to make. Window World, 816-799-0820, online at windowskansascity.com. Advanced Medical Imaging in Lawrence. If you need an MRI or a CT scan, why would you wait 3 weeks? Why would you wait? Your doctor says you need it. He says, call over here with the hospital chain I'm affiliated with. You do, and they say, oh, we can get you in July 20th. No. Advanced Medical Imaging will see you today. You get a morning appointment. Your doctor says, go get an MRI or a CT scan. They will fit you in that afternoon. At the latest, you're in tomorrow. MedImageKS.com. Period. You got to drive to Lawrence, but if it saves you 3 weeks, drive to Lawrence. MedImageKS.com. They're also offering to KKHI listeners heart scans for under $100. This is the plaque reading around your heart to see what your score is. The best part of it is they see all of your organs in your torso when they do this scan. They send it off to a radiologist who gets your heart score for you. But if the radiologist sees something on there they don't like, on your kidney or your lung or something like that, they will notify your doctor immediately that they see something they don't like. Folks, that's unbelievable peace of mind for under $100. MedImageKS.com. Cross Kitchens, Kansas City, is your remodeler. Period, end of statement. Tim's the best. Do this. Have Tim out. Talk about your project. Bathroom, kitchen, whatever remodeling you're doing. Then have another company out and talk to them and just compare. That's all we're asking you to do. Compare it all. And then know this. When Tim Cross, Cross Kitchens, KC, comes out to remodel your kitchen, renovate your kitchen, their average job is 2 weeks or less. Once they start, they finish. They're not dragging you out for 3 months like these other companies. Well, we got this supplier and we got this guy. And well, this guy's off today and he can't. No. Tim's team comes and does it. They're doers. They do it all. And they'll get it done in 2 weeks or less. Online, crosskitchenskc.com. 46 illegal aliens are dead in a hot semi-truck in Texas. 46, well, more than 46 were in it. 46 died, locked up in a really hot truck, trying to get to America. They did get to America. Once they got to America, apparently they didn't even get out of that and survive. It is a legitimate question I'm going to ask. Who is responsible for these deaths? Who is responsible for the rapes? Who is responsible for the children? Who is responsible for all of the people now? This is not Mexicans coming across. It's people from multiple countries all over, including Middle East. They're getting across the ocean, they're getting here, and they're coming in illegally. Who is responsible for all the tragedies? All the raped women, all the dead illegals crossing. When you put up a giant neon sign that says open 24/7, everyone welcome, it's a humanitarian crisis. You are creating a humanitarian crisis. Nobody wants to talk about this. We can talk about abortion. We can talk about school shooting. We can talk about the war in Ukraine. We cannot talk about 46 illegals jammed in a truck that fried to death, burned to death. It was so hot in there on their journey, they died. Not enough water, too much heat, dehydrated, died. Dead people. 46 dead people in one truck. What the hell are we doing? This is a humanitarian crisis. We're encouraging this. Why are we encouraging this? Why are we not encouraging a lawful immigration? And I don't care what the number is. If the administration says we got to do 3 million a year, find a way to do 3 million a year legally. Let's get it right. Let's make it safe. Let's not have people dying to get here. My God, this is mean. It's cruel is what it is. You sell them a bill of goods that they don't understand. They don't understand the danger. They don't care about the dangers. The coyotes that bring them say, oh, you'll be fine. Everything's fine. Just pay us. Pay us our $2,000. We'll get you across the border. It'll be safe. It'll be fine. Bring your little kids with you. Oh, my God. It's so bad. Ugh. And we're right there with them. What a shame. Nothing needs to be added to that story. Supreme Court ruling expected on, well, the rest of this week. They're busy. The Supreme Court has been busy. This is the big one for me. All right, there have been a lot. There was the guns. There was abortion. Those are going to grab the headlines. Again, for I don't know what percentage of people, less than 20% of Americans, those are just giant issues. They just live and die with the Second Amendment or Roe versus Wade, and I got it. I got it all. Here's the one I want. You want to know what I'm about as a conservative? This is where I live. This is the hill I die on. This is a biggie, and it should be out this week. It is the state of West Virginia versus the Environmental Protection Agency. Do not get bogged down in the fact that this is an environmental issue. It has nothing to do with the environment for me. Zero. Because the EPA might as well be Housing and Urban Development, the National Institute of Health, the CDC. How many alphabet organizations are there in the federal government? We've become a bureaucratic country at the federal level where unelected people like Anthony Fauci have all the power. We've watched this. It's played out over the last 2 years. Americans' eyes have been opened to the fact that it's not the people you vote for that are doing things that you don't like. It's just the people that have been working there for 30 years in all these agencies. This case happens to be the EPA. The EPA came into West Virginia. They were shutting down coal, which is a big industry in West Virginia. So they filed a legal claim that the EPA can't do this, that Congress is responsible for writing and passing laws to do what they're doing in West Virginia. I think West Virginia is going to win this case. To me, this sounds like the simplest thing ever. If we have a Supreme Court that is now saying we're following the Constitution as it's written, the states have more authority than the federal government, each state can do what it wants and how it wants to do it, as if we were 50 different countries. We have one central body at the top that does roads, bridges, and military. Let's get back to that. And the rest of it's up to the states to decide, and your own legislatures and the people that represent you in this republic that you vote for and you send off to represent you and take care of all this. That's the way it works. It does not work with bureaucrats sitting in Washington, D.C. at the different organizations. EPA is just one of them. Again, if West Virginia wins, the left's head is going to explode because they're going to say the Supreme Court is anti-environment. That is not what this case is about. This case is specifically about West Virginia and getting coal out of the ground, yes. It is about whether or not the EPA has the authority to make and enforce its own laws. My answer to that is no, and that's why I say this is the big one. The stupid do-nothing Congress needs to not work. You know, they only work half the time. When they do work, they write bills that they never vote on for publicity, for political purposes. We have to get back to where Congress is sitting there actually writing laws and passing them on schedule, or we're going to be, you know, lost on some of these things. Take the stuff away from the agencies and the bureaucrats that work at the agencies, and let's enact laws that represent the people of this country. Can we please get back to that? That's what this one is to me. This is the biggest Supreme Court case. Guns got headlines, abortion got headlines. This is the big one this time around in this session with the Supreme Court. This is your federal government is out of control with alphabet agencies that are basically making and enforcing their own laws in every state in America, and this country was never founded on that. We were never founded on a giant federal bureaucracy of people that were unelected to decide what our laws and rules are in our states. That is not what we are. That is never what we've been. That is not our constitutional republic. This is a big one, folks. This is a big one. Because if West Virginia wins, everything topples. The power of the CDC, the NIH, all these people, all these things they were doing to us, it all topples. Every single one of those things can be challenged and won in court because the Supreme Court will have put a precedent on the books that the EPA cannot do this to West Virginia. Congress needs to have a law. It's a big one. Let's wait and see what happens. Shout out to my friend TJ Vilkanskis at Back 9 Development. You want to see the portfolio of custom homes, commercial projects, and condominiums? You won't believe the great work he does. Online, back9development.com. And my buddy Mark over at 360 Document Solutions, we've been texting back and forth. We're setting up a happy hour. Yes, indeed. Could be a couple weeks off. I think he's got a birthday coming up. But I'll look forward to that because he's a positive, happy guy with a great business. 360documentsolutions.com. He's getting more and more of you that are calling him, which is great. That's fantastic, because you have to have a business. I mean, he's business to business. Your business should do business with 360 Document Solutions. They can help you. I promise you, you will be impressed with this man and his company, and they will benefit your business. 360documentsolutions.com. Okay, I'm amazed that the stories that have been coming out now after the Roe ruling on Friday, and it's not, I mean, it's everywhere. It's nationally, it's locally. So all these stories now from most of your typical liberal media outlets are about the Plan B, morning after, abortion pill is still legal and it's still available. And it's at CVS and it's at Walgreens and it's everywhere. And you can go get this thing. You have unprotected sex. You can just go right to Walgreens. You can get this pill and you can take it. And it's good for 5 days. You can take today off and wait another day and then go get your pill and do that. I'm not an expert on this pill or, you know, whatever, but it's there. It's not illegal. It's available for anyone that thinks, uh-oh, I did something crazy yesterday and I may wind up pregnant. I better take care of this. Okay, that's a nice public service to let people know that that's taking place. But how about this discussion? How about you don't get pregnant to begin with? What has happened in our society that Americans, this is not a knock on either side. We're all this way. We're all looking for the easy way out, the lazy way in something in our lives. There are certain things that we're not lazy at that we tend to and we're really good at. But, you know, there's things I'm lazy at. There are. I take, you know, like yard work and stuff. I take all kinds of shortcuts from time to time. Like, I'll try the easy way. I'll get that later. I'll walk around. Yeah, I missed this. I did this. I put this thing in wrong, and now the weeds are popping up. Well, I'll just get some weed spray and go spray it and kill them. When I probably could have done a better job building we built a little mulch area back behind our patio on our own, and it's filling up with weeds because I don't think we did it right. I could have done it the hard way. I didn't, and now I'm walking around spraying after the fact. This is the same thing. Americans are so lazy. We're always looking for the easy way. And it's striking to me that this is what the media would now focus on is you got Plan B. You still have the pill. Take it. Right after having sex, take this pill. But there's no discussion of, you know, you could take a pill before having sex. They have that pill. They've got other things too. There's lots of different ways you can do this. Never part of our discussion. We are an amazing, amazing society. But I love her, man. I love the United States of America. Through and through. Just love her to death. Looking forward to seeing Vinny Pasquantino play on Tuesday night for the Royals. That'll be fun. So check that one out. Don't forget to tell your friends about the podcast if you get a chance, or hit that like or follow or subscribe button if you're new to the podcast. It makes a huge difference for us. It's free to hit like, follow, or subscribe wherever you listen, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Pandora, the browser. Podbean is an excellent way to listen. You can go straight to my page, kkhasissues.com. It'll redirect you to the Podbean site. You can download the Podbean app and get it all. There's a million ways to listen. Wherever you listen, hit the like, follow, or subscribe button. That's free. That'll get you a notification when there's a podcast up. It's tremendously helpful for the podcast. It's tremendously helpful for what we're doing here at KKHI. So if you can help us out in that way, go for it. If you want to become a patron, kkhasissues.com. Click in the upper right-hand corner, become a patron. It is very easy. I've sent last Saturday's newsletter out to well over 100 of you at this point. I said yesterday I may be sending this 1,000 times and may be very sorry for it, but I'm before I started recording today, I think I'm caught up, and everybody that wanted it has gotten it. It is a little bit of an example of what the newsletter looks like for the patron program. If you like it, consider signing up to become a patron. KKHasIssues.com. $5 a month, 3 podcasts a week, which is 12 podcasts a month, and 4 newsletters. You get about 16 items every month for your $5. I think that's okay. I think that's all right. I'm working hard for you. KKHasIssues.com. Click on Become a Patron. Or wherever you're walking around on this beautiful Tuesday, tell somebody just out of nowhere that Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. to get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.